Dr. Kendall Egan, and I am a board-certified dermatologist in Wilmington, North Carolina, and you're listening to a brand new podcast called Skin Stuff, where we talk about anything and everything related to the skin. It is a listener-driven podcast, meaning you tell me what to talk about. I ask for ideas and suggestions for topics, and I take those ideas and make them into new episodes. So if you have a great suggestion for a topic, please reach out to me on Facebook at Kendall Egan MD and let me know what you want me to talk about. I hope you enjoy listening. This podcast, Skin Stuff, is for educational and informational purposes only. It should not substitute for seeing a qualified healthcare professional in person. If you have a concern about your own health, I always recommend seeing a qualified healthcare professional. If you have a specific question about your skin, I recommend seeing a board-certified dermatologist. So for the first episode of Skin Stuff, we're going to be talking about acne. Now, acne was a pretty popular topic suggestion, so I think it's a great place to start. It's also fairly relatable. We've all probably had an acne bump or have had acne, or we've known somebody with acne. So on some level, we know how frustrating it can be to treat or deal with acne. Now, what are some other reasons why we should care about acne? Well, it can affect people's self-esteem. Not always, but it can. It can become secondarily infected, and sometimes very seriously, and that can affect our health. It can sometimes lead to scarring, and that can be devastating. And those are just a few reasons why we should care about acne. I love treating acne because I love seeing acne bumps go to clear skin. And I also like being part of that transformation of improvement in self-esteem. And people with acne sometimes have great self-esteem. So it's not every person, but there are many people that are very aware of their acne. And I just like being a part of that transformation. So I think it's a great topic to start out with. Now, let me give you a little outline of what we're going to talk about. Number one, we're going to talk about acne bumps. And then we're going to talk about over-the-counter products that might be good for a little startup or mild acne. We'll move on to adult acne. And that was a pretty popular topic suggestion, so we'll spend some time on that. We'll talk about things that are affecting our acne, things we're doing that may be hurting or helping our acne. And then we'll wrap it up with medications that may be associated or causing acne. Or when is acne dangerous? At what ages should we be worried when someone gets acne? So the first thing we'll talk about is acne bumps. There are three major types, super important. What I want you to take away from this is that there are three different types of bumps and that these bumps are treated differently. So the first bump we'll talk about is the comedone, and that is your blackhead and whitehead. Comedone is just a fancy word for it. You can get comedones anywhere where you can get acne. So face, chest, back, typically, and it can affect all ages that are affected by acne. Often I see teenagers come in with kind of these comedonal bumps on their foreheads and noses as they start out with acne. But again, certainly any age could get them. They are very challenging to treat. There's really no overnight solution for these bumps. Many times people are frustrated when they come in with these types of bumps because they're often not on the right medication for these bumps. And the medication you really need for these bumps is a topical retinoid or a topical retinoid-like medication. And when we talk about over-the-counter medications, I'll give you an idea or an example of one that you can now get over-the-counter. So that's great. But often with this type of acne, people do need to come in to see a dermatologist because we have to use a little bit stronger medication. So comedones, whiteheads, blackheads, super hard to treat. Topical retinoids is what you want to use on these types of bumps. No overnight solution. May need to and often need to see a dermatologist. The second type of bump we'll talk about is the inflammatory papule or the red bump. So super common with acne, also can happen in any of those areas, face, chest, back. A little bit different than the comedone in terms of treatment, but there's some overlap. There's some great options over the counter if you kind of have mild inflammatory acne or these red bumps. The cool thing about red bumps, we'll get to those topicals in the topical section, but the cool thing about the red bumps is sometimes they come in a unique distribution. So For example, hormonal acne. Sometimes these red bumps kind of limit themselves to the chin or kind of the jawline. And in other types of acne, they're kind of all over the place. But most of the time, if you have more than mild acne, dermatologists can give you a little bit something stronger or use different types of medications for these red bumps. The third type of bump we'll talk about is nodule cystic acne or the nodule cystic bump. Now, when people have these types of bumps, they really need to get in to see a dermatologist because they have more risk of scarring, and we don't want scarring, or we want to stop scarring. So these deep-seated nodules and cysts need treatment sooner. Shouldn't be messing around with topical medications too long before you see a dermatologist. So now you know there's three major types of acne bumps and that these bumps are treated differently and that your board-certified dermatologist has some stuff in their back pocket in case the topical over-the-counter stuff isn't working. So moving on to some topical options over-the-counter. So some topical medications that might be good for maybe some mild or start of acne. I'm going to talk about three different ones that I think are effective. The first one I'll talk about is benzoyl peroxide wash. I love it. It's my favorite. I put most of my patients on it. I think it's good for many different types of acne and for all the acne bumps that we discussed. It can bleach things, so towels, clothing, pillowcases, so be careful with that. I like the wash better than the cream. In fact, I rarely recommend using the cream over the counter to my patients just because it can be more irritating. And I find the wash is much better for anyone who might have more sensitive skin just because it's not sitting on your skin all day. It's also a little bit better for risk of bleaching things because you're really rinsing it off in the shower. It's not going to be kind of coming in contact with your clothing or pillowcases. The second topical option I'm going to talk about is salicylic acid wash. And that's a nice acne wash too. It's not my favorite, like benzoyl peroxide, but it's a good option, particularly if you can't tolerate benzoyl peroxide wash. The other cool thing about salicylic acid wash is that it may be a little bit better for comedonal acne. So that whitehead, blackhead acne, you may like salicylic acid wash better. And that's great. The third medication I'll talk about is kind of in that topical retinoid family that I alluded to in the bump section. So this medication is called adapalene, and it used to be that you couldn't get it over the counter. You had to have a prescription. So now you can get one of the formulations over the counter, which is great. So if you have kind of mild start-up comedonal or blackhead, whitehead acne, this might be a good choice. Now we have stronger strengths of it, and we also have better kind of topical retinoid medications by prescription. So if you're not getting better with this adapalene over the counter, don't worry. There's other options. It can be a little bit irritating. So sometimes people do get a little bit of irritation with any topical retinoid. So now you know there's three medications that are over the counter that are somewhat effective for acne. They may be good for if you have some mild or startup acne. And then often sometimes these topical medications are used in conjunction with prescription medications. So they kind of work together. And so that you have some good options if you want to try something before you get in to see a dermatologist. I do want to mention that some acne bumps or things that look like acne may not be acne. So I have seen people that have bumps that look like acne, but then they end up being a skin cancer or they're a different type of skin condition. So just be careful. If you're treating acne and it's not getting better, or if you have any concerns, it's always a good idea to see a dermatologist so you know that you're treating the right skin condition appropriately. Adult onset acne. Who gets it? Usually it's women, and it's usually kind of on the chin and jawline. I often see it in women in their late 30s to early mid-40s, but I certainly see it in women in their 20s as well as women in their late 40s to early 50s. It is caused or kind of associated with this balance between estrogen and testosterone. So we use medications that kind of target this kind of testosterone imbalance. Often, topical medications don't do a lot for this type of acne unless it's fairly mild. Always, you can use them in conjunction with other medications, but often adult onset acne that is hormonal kind of based, or this distribution in the chin and jawline, responds best to an oral medication called spironolactone. Now, spironolactone was developed to be a blood pressure medication, but it's a pretty bad blood pressure medication in terms of lowering blood pressure. But we have found that it has anti-testosterone effects, which works great for this hormonal acne. Now, not everyone can take it. It is a prescription, so you do need to see a dermatologist to make sure you're a candidate and it's safe for you to take. But if you have this type of acne, you really need to be seen by a dermatologist so that you can get on appropriate treatment. So what are we doing or not doing that's affecting our acne? We'll start off talking about diet. Now, diet's always a popular topic when we're talking about acne. Some people think it really, really affects acne. Other people think not so much. In our dermatology literature, there is strong evidence for dairy worsening acne, particularly non-fat or low-fat dairy. So I often recommend to my patients avoiding non-fat and low-fat dairy. Drink almond milk. That's a good option if you're trying to avoid kind of non-fat or low-fat milk. If you're allergic to almonds, don't drink almond milk, but a good solution if you can do that. Those yummy, yummy non-fat yogurts, not probably great for acne, which is kind of a bummer, but I would avoid kind of any of those low-fat or non-fat dairy options. Another thing with diet is foods that can raise your insulin levels quickly. So we call those high glycemic foods. There is probably an association, or there is some evidence, that high glycemic foods or things that can raise your insulin levels quickly may worsen acne. So kind of regular sodas, if you're drinking those, or lots and lots of simple sugars in terms of candy, they may affect your acne. Probably also good for your health to avoid kind of those high glycemic foods, so it's kind of a win-win. There was some mention or a study a while ago about fish helping with acne. I don't think there's a lot of strong evidence for it, but it's probably not going to hurt if you eat fish or incorporate some fish into your diet. If you're allergic to fish, again, don't eat fish, but that may not hurt. Probably also good for your heart. So always another option that you could do. The other thing I like to talk about when talking about things that are worsening or helping acne is associated with kind of gear or athletic gear or sweating. So I do take care of a lot of athletes, and sometimes when you're wearing gear or baseball caps or things like that, that can worsen acne because of occlusion, or kind of your acne is being covered up or irritated, or it can become secondarily infected. So what I usually tell my patients, particularly that are athletic or very active, is to get out of your sweaty clothes immediately after working out. You can incorporate benzoyl peroxide wash, and that may help kind of keep acne at bay, but you don't want to be sitting kind of in sweaty clothing because that can certainly worsen acne. It can also give you other skin conditions too, but it's not helping your acne. So makeup. Can you wear makeup while you have acne? That's usually the million-dollar question, particularly with women. And the answer to that is maybe. Now, makeup can be occlusive, meaning that it can cover acne and kind of make it worse. So if you're choosing to use makeup, which I understand why women in particular would like to cover up their acne, kind of the redness, you want to choose a makeup that is kind of oil-free, that isn't as thick. Those would be better options. And then you want to make sure that you're, you know, getting rid of the makeup more quickly. You don't want to be using the same tube for like 2 years. You really want to kind of be changing out your makeup so that it's not contributing to secondary infections or kind of irritation and inflammation. I think there are a lot of good makeup choices that have sunscreens in them, which I like for acne because kind of those red or brown spots sometimes that you get after you've had an acne bump sometimes get worse when they're exposed to sun. So if you can kind of incorporate a lighter oil-free makeup with a sunscreen element into it, that would be probably the best solution. Face washing or lack of face washing, does that cause acne? Often I hear parents tell me, particularly of teenagers, that their son or daughter has acne because they're not washing their face. And that's probably not the entire story. Acne is a lot of genetics and a lot of hormones. So some people have perfect skin, and they never wash their face. And they eat a ton of non-fat, low-fat dairy, and they eat a bunch of candy bars, but not one pimple. They're just not set up to get acne. People that get acne, they're more prone to get acne. Their genetics kind of set them up to get acne, and then fluctuating hormone levels aren't helping. Can we improve acne with better face washing and with medications and treatment? Yes, but it is not the entire story, face washing. You're not getting acne because you're not washing your face. So if you're a teenager out there or you're a parent of a teenager, just remember that this isn't all about face washing. This is a lot of genetics and a lot of hormones. So the last few things we'll talk about are medications that can cause or worsen acne, and then we'll talk about when is acne dangerous? What age should you be worried about if you get acne? And there are a few age groups that you should be worried if you develop acne, so we'll get to those in a minute. We'll start off with medications. The class of medication I'll talk about first is steroids. So steroids can worsen or even cause you to get acne. If you're taking steroids by mouth or if you're taking steroids by injection, those can cause acne and worsen acne. Now, sometimes we aren't able to not use steroids for other reasons. Perhaps you have a joint that needs injected, or you have an autoimmune disease, and we can't get away around using those medications. We can still treat the acne. It's a little bit more challenging when you're on a medication that can cause or worsen acne, because there's this underlying fuel that's kind of pushing the acne out. But you can certainly be treated for acne and have improvement. Other medications that can cause or worsen acne. Well, certain chemotherapy drugs can do it. Again, we treat the acne. Often the chemotherapy drug needs to be used, and so we do the best we can with the acne bumps. But can be treated. Other medications that can cause or worsen acne. A big one that I've seen recently is testosterone. For some reason, people are being treated with testosterone. And that's a topic for an entirely different podcast, but in general, testosterone drives acne. So women that are starting testosterone maybe later in life, I have seen acne. I've also seen unwanted hair growth in areas they don't want hair growth. Since this is a podcast about acne, we won't talk about the hair, but if you're on testosterone or thinking about testosterone as a male or female, you need to know that acne may worsen or you may develop acne. Not in every patient, but it can happen. Other medications, birth control. So in general, estrogen makes acne better and progesterone makes acne worse. So birth control options that have mostly progesterone, so Depo, implants, some of these newer IUDs with progesterone in them, they can worsen acne, particularly in people that have a predisposition to get acne. So not every person is going to have worsening acne on these medications, but if you're predisposed to getting acne, you have a higher likelihood of having problems with acne when you're on these medications. Good idea to talk to whoever's prescribing the medication to make sure that there's not an alternative that you can use if you're worried about worsening acne or developing acne. So when is acne dangerous? Which age groups do we have to worry about if they're developing new onset of acne? There are a few. So say you're a 70 or 80 year old man or woman and you develop acne. That is not normal. You need to see a dermatologist and your primary care physician to make sure there's nothing underlying going on. So maybe a malignancy or a cancer or a hormone problem that could be driving that acne. You need a full workup to make sure that there's nothing else going on. That is not normal. Now, when are you too young to get acne? And did you know that babies and infants can get acne? You probably did. So newborns and infants can get acne, and that's not terribly uncommon. With newborn acne, we don't get too excited. But with infantile acne, some infants can go on to have scarring. So with any concern with infantile acne, it's always a good idea to see a dermatologist to make sure that there isn't any risk of long-term scarring. But this age group between 2 and, I'd say, 7, these are approximate ages, you should not be getting acne. It is not normal. So if a child develops acne between the ages of 2 and 7, they need to see a pediatrician. They need to see a dermatologist to make sure there's not an underlying hormone problem. or an endocrine problem, and they need a full workup. That is not normal for those children to develop acne kind of after infantile acne and before they enter puberty. So the last thing we'll talk about in the category of when acne can be dangerous has to do with infection. At the beginning of this podcast, we talked about why we should care about acne. And one of those reasons was secondary infection of an acne bump. And that basically means an acne bump that gets bacteria on it and then it becomes infected. So there is this area on your face called the triangle of death, which sounds really important because it is important. It involves your nose and your mouth out to the corners of your mouth. And when you get an infection in this area, it has a little bit more or easier access to your skull and to your brain and other important structures. Doesn't commonly happen, but it can happen. So if you develop an infection in the central part of the face or a pimple that becomes secondarily infected with bacteria, it can have more serious consequences if it decides to access these important structures. Always better to be seen sooner rather than later if you have an infection in your central face. Not something to mess around with. So that wraps up our first episode of the podcast called Skin Stuff. Today we talked about acne. Hopefully you learned a little bit more about acne, or you're pumped about acne, or you know somebody with acne and you're going to share this podcast. This is a listener-driven podcast, so if you have an idea or a topic suggestion, please reach out to me on Kendall Egan MD on Facebook, and I will take those ideas and make them into new episodes. I hope you enjoyed listening today and that you listen again soon. Remember to always protect your skin from the sun, know your ABCDEs of melanoma, and get your skin checked by a board-certified dermatologist.